A career that spans the 60s, 70s, and beyond. One of the greatest entertainers of our generation.
Candida, just take my hand.
Ladies and gentlemen, Cousin Brucey presents Tony Orlando on Sirius XM 60s on 6.
Okay, everybody, and welcome. Welcome to our studio. I'm your Cousin Brucey, and our special guest star today on Cousin Brucey Presents is Tony Orlando.
Serious, what's happening here, buddy? How you doing,
cousin? Tony? Oh, I'm doing great. Tony, I can see we're not going to have too much trouble with this audience today. They're not a shy bunch.
But this is the way to kick off the season here.
Yes, it is. This is a beautiful season. You know, we do these shows, Brucey Presents, and it's in-depth. We got and very informal. I don't call them interviews. We call them visits. Like, you and I have been getting together. How long do we know each other?
I think Lincoln was president when I met you.
And the radios weren't really great at that time, right? Yeah. And we've been doing this ever since. And
I'll tell you exactly how old I was when I met you.
But you
were a kid, so people don't realize that you were a kid in radio. You were a young man, because I was 16 years old when I had Halfway to Paradise.
16.
And you were at least 17.
I think it was a couple of years. Maybe a couple of years. I don't know.
Just a couple.
18 and a half. We'll do that.
Yeah, that's good.
Tony and I met at a place called Paradise. With a P. It was called Palisades Park. Right?
That's right, yeah.
In New Jersey. The first time I met this young man, he comes out on the stage. He was the only one I ever saw at Palisades Park wearing a tie and a jacket. Is that correct?
That's right.
And I see him, you know, backstage at Palisades Park in New Jersey, cousins. That's a place where people used to entrust Cousin Brucey with their kids, people who don't know Palisades Park. We had thousands of people in the audience, and they'd leave their kids with me all day, and they'd go on the rides, and yep. The kids would watch the shows. And I see Tony backstage waving to people. And then I see people in the audience waving to Tony. Then I see Tony waving to more people. And I see more people waving to Tony. The whole audience, half of it, was his, what we say in Greek,
mishpucha. It's a good Yiddish-Greek word, right?
Yes, it is. You had that audience loaded.
Well, you know, I sent you a picture. I don't know if Steve gave it to you.
I haven't.
But I sent you a picture. Some fan sends me. Now, you understand something. That's 52 years ago he's talking about. Okay? I mean, it seems like yesterday. I'm 69 years old now. So I was 16 years old when I met Bruce. Now, I'm going, and somebody sends me a picture who must have been backstage that day, because it's a picture of me working. And by the way, the show that I did with Bruce, honest to God, was the first time I ever faced an audience in my life. Okay? So I'm out on the stage, and somebody takes this picture, and I look at the picture, and Bruce wasn't lying. I look, I see my mother, her sisters, my grandmother, my grandfather, my Uncle Chi-Chi, my cousin Cheryl. I said, wait a minute. No wonder we were packed.
And we were packed. I didn't know. I mean, he sends me this picture, and he has circles red. He did it in red pencil, red pen, and his Uncle Cheech.
Yeah.
It was great.
My Uncle Johnny, everybody was there, wasn't it?
Those days at Palisades Park, and I know some of our audience members are going to get a chance to talk to you. Very important part of this show is I want, you know, you and I can chat for hours and days, as we always have, and the music, but I want them to be able to talk to you and see what, you know, see where they have a head towards Cousin Tony here.
Sure.
But Palisades Park played a pretty important part in your career, I think.
It played a part in every young performer's career back then. I remember backstage that day was one of the guys who was already became a megastar as a teenager, and his name was Frankie Avalon. And he was backstage, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, I'm standing here with Frankie Avalon. Little does he know I'm spraying my hair to look like his. I mean it. I mean, it was an amazing place. Paradise is the truth. You know, Carol King, who has a Broadway hit show right now called Beautiful, and it's a story about her life and her music, and she played a big, important part in our lives, too, because she was a neighbor of yours in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
And Carol was my first writer, worked with Jack Keller, my first producer, and Don Kirshner. And the very first hit record she had as an arranger Now, remember, she's an 18-year-old girl arranging the symphony, New York Symphony string section in Halfway to Paradise. That we don't have a copy of me live to be able to sing, but...
You're going
to
do a little bit
If
for me,
you
right?
remember, it went kind of like this. I want to be your lover. Anybody here remember that?
I do. Yeah.
You really do? But your friend is all I stay. Remember that? You leave me, go. Oh my God, this audience is old. Holy mackerel, they know every word. So near, yet so far away. Now, Bruce broke that record. He was the guy that first played that record, and it went to, on the national charts, number 16 for me. But in the New York area, because of his power on the radio, it went to number one. So I had the number one record going back to my old neighborhood. Boy, did I feel good, man.
Tony, you were what, 16? You were 16
yeah.
years old, right?
Yeah.
16 at this time.
And then we followed that up with Bless You, which you then did it again. It went to number one in New York and a top 10 nationally and number one in England. And that was written by a good friend of yours, too, Barry Mann, who you played, Who Put the Bump in the Bump, a Bump, a Bump. And Barry went on to write You've Lost That Love and Feeling, On Broadway, Somewhere Out There. He's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame along with Carole King and Jerry Goffin, Cynthia Weil. So this was a young family. What's so great about my relationship with Bruce is that really it was our childhood, because Carol was growing up with me, I with her. Barry Mann, Neil Sedaka was growing up with you and I in those days. And Neil already was a big star with Oh Carol and In the Diary Book that he had that big hit record. So this was a family of young people starting out together from Brooklyn and Manhattan, who are still friends to this day. I mean, I still consider my cousin here, Cousin Brucey, my brother. You know, it's been too long for me to call him cousin anymore. And the same thing goes for the city of New York and the country. Because Bruce now has been Cousin Brucey for the country, thanks to Sirius Radio. But in New York, he's been there as an iconic marker for music. If you think about it, more people have started their careers because of this guy. And I'm not just saying this because I'm on the air. It's time he hears it. He's always talking about everybody else. But it's time his listeners understand that without the guy who plays the record and sticks his neck out on them, in those days you were sticking your neck out. If you were the first guy to play a record, and if it didn't make it, your program director was going to be on your back. Well, he didn't care. He played what he felt was going to make it. He felt it in his heart. And we all owe him. We owe him, I know I do, as an entertainer. And I value him as a friend.
Thank you. And you know, that's very sweet, Tony.
That's true.
But this is about you, not about me.
Is about me, and whatever is about any guest that comes on here, Bruce, to be honest with you, the reason they're here is because they owe you.
Well,
you see, the reason they're here is because they don't owe you, but they love you. Mm-hmm. You're one of those guys who's never changed. You're consistent. You're like the sun and the moon. The same guy I met when Lincoln was president, the same guy I'm talking to now.
Yeah, he liked me too. I played his music too. Tony, you know, it's funny. You just said that we stuck our necks out. We played music that was untried. And it's gone full circle. And that's what's so wonderful about what I'm doing now. I have my freedom. I'm flying in the satellite in Sirius XM. And I play. And I play what I want from the 50s, 60s, our music, and the 70s.
I know,
and
I listen to you.
It just blends so beautifully. All right, let's see. Now, we did Halfway.
So Bless You went like this.
Bless You, yeah, Bless You.
Bless every breath that you take. Bless every move that you make so perfectly. And that was Barry Mann and Cynthia Weil, who eventually got married, their very first hit record. And they've gone on to become iconic. And in fact, the beautiful show that is about Carole King's life is a show in which it talks about the relationship between Carole King, Jerry Goffin, her husband, Barry Mann, and Cynthia Weil, because they had a little but kind of a creative battle going on. Who was going to get the next big hit? Who was going to write the next big hit as kids growing up? So it's a great play, and I felt it's so much part of my life and so much a part of my beginnings with Don Kirshner in those days. Don't miss it. If you get a chance, don't miss Beautiful.
Good. And that's on Broadway right now, Cousins. We do talk about it. Tony, before we get into a little music, and I know everybody wants to hear Tony Orlando do his thing. Talk to me a little bit about growing up. Now, your dad, I think your dad was Greek, if I'm not mistaken, uh-huh. right?
My father's Greek and born in New York City. My mother is of Puerto Rican heritage, born in New York City. So you're looking at your first full-grown American Greek. That's what you're looking at. We're about as rare as the bald eagle in Central Park, to be honest.
That's so funny. That's good. And where were you born? Most people think, well, New York City. I know you were here.
Born in New York City, raised on 21st Street in Chelsea, between 21st and 25th. Only went to the 8th grade, St. Columbus, right there on 25th Street. Then I went on the road. I went to aviation high school for about a week. And I had, did you go there too? And you know, when you go to aviation high school, you're going to become a mechanic or something, right? Well, I can't even screw a light bulb in. So they gave me a T-square, and they said, okay, you have to make a gasket. I had no idea what they were talking about. So I took my T-square, I'll never forget this, my first week in high school, and I drew a picture of the Paramount theater, the Brooklyn Paramount Theater, with my name over Paul Anka's. Well, I immediately was dispelled. I was suspended.
Well, that's aviation. That's good. That goes up. It's really good.
Little did I know I'd be flying more now since I didn't go to that school than I've ever done.
How many miles you put on a year now?
Oh, my God. We do about 135 live dates a year. So it's a lot of flying.
135. You know, we go back when you were 16, 15 and a half, 16. Whoever thought that these many years later, you'd still be putting
52 years. I mean, you know, I did a movie with Adam Sandler 2 years ago called That's My Boy. And thank you. What's up? They know it. You want to do that with me? Come on. What's up? Let me hear that. Let me hear.
What's up?
He knows it, yeah. And so Adam, who was 40, in his 40s, 45 years old, said to me, man, Tony, how long has it been since you've been in the business? I said, well, it's my 50th. Then it was my 50th year. And here I am, Adam, making a full-length movie with you and Andy Samberg in a big part. Is that not a blessing? I would have been happy with 52 minutes in show business. 52 years now. And he said to me, this got me crazy, though. This got me crazy. Here he is, a 45-year-old man. I have a 43-year-old son, John. And Adam goes, you know, I went to Broadway and I saw you in Barnum. And I said, no kidding, Adam, really? Well, gee, how old were you? 11. how old were you? 11 years old? And what was weird was he's such a student of the business, this guy, Adam, and the nicest guy you ever want to meet. If anybody out there wants to know what he's like, he's better even than he is in the movies. He's a decent, wonderful friend. And he gets on there, and he says to me, there is a sucker born every minute. And I said, wait a minute. You know every word to the closing song of Barnum, and you were 11? He said, I went 5 times. Well, that doesn't beat my daughter who went to see Wicked 15 times.
You were in Wicked?
No, I wasn't in Wicked, but I am.
I know.
No, I've been in Wicked that. 15 times with her sitting in the audience going, are we going to go for 16 now? Is that what we're going to do, honey?
I play so much of your music, and it's so difficult.
But I was in Smokey Joe's Cafe, and I thought about you.
I was there, too.
Yes, you were. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
I don't talk about that too much, because that's, I don't know, did I do all right in that?
You did great in that.
Really? Yeah. In Smokey Joe's Cafe, which, by the way, was supposed to last 2 weeks. 2.5 years later, they're still on the boards playing on Broadway.
Right.
And I know you were in it. Benny King did it, I remember.
Yeah, yeah.
And one day I get a call.
Lou Rawls did it. A lot of people.
Would I come and do a guest appearance? I said, yeah. I said, what do you want me to do? Is that Charlie Brown? I said, I don't sing too well. Can you do it in the key of Q minor? So they did it. I did it in Q minor, you know. What is everybody always picking on me? But it was good. Let's do a little music. I want people to hear this dulcet tones of my friend here.
Well, I'm a little cold. You know what? But I'll do the best I can.
Yeah, but this is what? This is in the raw.
Yeah,
we're doing
yeah.
this naked. That's what we're doing. This
yeah.
is, don't you love this? What this you hear? You know, Tony, what I love about this is that we're hearing stars like yourself and people that, you know, are produced and are in studios with computers and 15,000 singers, but here you're right out and right here, right in front of everybody.
Well, you know, that's one of the things about the television years that I did with Telman Joyce. on the Tony Orlando and Dawn show, when I think back, I went to American Idol, right, one year to watch it. I'm a big fan of the show, and it was when it was really in its prime. And I go with my daughter Jenny and my wife Franny, and we're sitting there watching this show. And I'm thinking, if I only had this sound when I was on my variety show. You know what we had? We had a boom mic for the three of us. One boom mic. That's it. You sang live, no lip syncing. Okay? As they don't do on Idol. They sing live. And a live orchestra. But there, they had speakers coming out of every seat, every ceiling, behind the guy's head, underneath his butt, behind the guitar player, behind the drummer. And I had this little tiny speaker, and I'm not joking you. The speaker we have in this studio right now looks like the Empire State Building compared. And it was a little tiny little box, and out came what sounded like a little transistor radio. Mm. And we're sitting up there singing like we can hear it, band and everything. And I used to say, I used to say to CBS, the people, they have nice radios in their car. Can't television start getting up to date? Now, this is 73 and 74. And they said, well, sound is not important in music, in
just
television.
Just the picture.
Just the picture. You remember those days, right?
I'm talking to Tony Orlando here on Your Cousin Brucey Presents. We're live in the studio with a wonderful audience. And, having a ball with them. Tony, let's tie it. Can we do a little tie a yellow ribbon?
Yeah, sure.
Let me know when they're ready with the orchestra.
Can I share one little story since this is also
Set this up.
Let me tell you what.
Yeah.
The first time I ever sang Yellow Ribbon was 1973, Cotton Bowl, Dallas, Texas. I get a call from then Bob Hope. Now, here's how the call went. Hi, this is Bob Yellow Ribbon Hope. Is this Tony Orlando? I said, yeah, this is Frank. I don't believe you, Sinatra. Who is this? He says, no, it's really Bob Hope. And I hear this voice, and I realize it was. I said, yes, sir, Mr. Hope. What is this? You're calling me? He goes, listen, I'm in the car with Dolores, my wife, and we just heard this song that you recorded, Yellow Ribbon. I said, yeah. He said, how long has it been out? I said, about an hour and a half. He goes, well, he says, you're going to do it for me. And welcome home our POWs from Vietnam, Cambodia, and Laos. There'll be 70,000 Americans there. You want to come down? I said, I'm there. I get down there. I said, Mr. Hope, you think 70,000 people's going to know this song? The song is only like 39 with a bullet going up the charts. He said, not in Dallas. When I came here, I made it number one. Sure enough, that was number one in Dallas. I get on stage. And I hear 70,000 people. The first time I ever sang this song live was for them. Sitting on the 50-yard line with the POWs, returned 2 weeks from the Hanoi Hiltons, like tortured beyond words. I start singing the song, thank you. I look over to Bob Hope, and he winks at me. And after the show, I said, did you see that one POW? There's 580 of them out there. Did you see that one guy not clapping his hands or singing along? Did I say something wrong? He goes, go ask him. So I walk up. I said, sir, my name is Tony Orlando. You weren't clapping or singing. The rest of the guy's words, did I say anything that hurt your feelings in any way? He goes, oh, Tony Orlando, let me introduce myself to you. My name is John McCain. He said, they pulled my shoulders out of socket, and I can't clap my hands. And I have a little bit of a hoarse throat from being in prison all these years. But you didn't see my big toe in my shoe keeping time. And when that song, when I did that song, Hope said to me, now you listen to me, kid. You're going to be singing this song for the rest of your life. On that, hit it. Okay, hands together. All right, come on. You guys know the song. You're going to sing the chorus with me. You too, Brucey. Here we go.
Coming home, I've done my time. I've got to know what is and isn't mine. And if you receive my letter telling you I'd soon be free, well, then you'll know just what to do if you still want me. If you still want me.
Okay, you guys, come on, let's do it.
Well, tie a yellow ribbon round the old. It's been 3 long years. Do you still want me? And if I don't see that ribbon round the old oak tree, I'll stay on the bus. You put the blame on me if I don't see that yellow ribbon round the old oak tree.
Get ready, Bruce. You're coming up. Get ready, Brucey. Here we go.
Bus driver, look for me. I couldn't bear to see what I might see. You know I'm really still in prison, and my love, she holds the key to that simple yellow ribbon. It's what I need to set me free. And I wrote and I told her, okay, Cousin Brucey, your turn. Go ahead, say it.
Tie a yellow ribbon round the old oak tree. It's been many years. I miss you so much.
Can you believe it? I mean it. If I don't see a ribbon round the old oak tree, I'll stay on the bus, forget about us, put the blame on me. If I don't see that yellow ribbon round the old, I'm telling you, Brucey, you missed your calling, Brucey. I should have been the disc jockey, you should have been the recording artist. Now the whole Cousin Brucey audience is cheering, 'cause they can't believe what they see. Bruce Morrow singing Yellow Ribbon right here with me. I'm coming home. I'm coming home. I am coming home. In time now, we're gonna tie those beautiful ribbons. Each beautiful ribbon. Oh yeah, oh yeah. That's it. Just like that. Keep it right there on Sirius Radio today. That's it! Yay! We did it! We all heard Cousin Brucey sing at its key. I love it.
Well,
no, actually, you did it right on time. I'm proud of you.
I did time, but I sing in the key.
You did it.
You.
You did it. You did it. God bless you.
What a song. What a song. We have all kinds of stories about that song, what it's about. When it came out originally, we thought maybe he was a returning vet. Then there was a story about somebody in prison.
Well, it was written, Irwin Levine and Larry Brown, two of the writers that wrote all of our hits, except for Candida. Tony Wine, our friend, wrote that with Irwin. But they heard about this guy who was in prison and came home to his wife, and he wasn't sure if she'd want him home anymore. And it was a story that some people say was true, some people say it's not. You know, the coming home story goes back to the prodigal son. This is not a new story. But they wrote it in a way in which it was a song of forgiveness, because not only did she greet him home in the song, and the bus is waiting to see if there's a yellow ribbon on the tree, but there wasn't one, there was 100. So there's a great love story behind it, as he was always able to write, Irwin. And so then it became a national symbolic song for the Iranian hostage crisis. Bruce Langdon's wife, Penny Langdon, tied a yellow ribbon around her mailbox. The press ran with it. And everything from the space shuttle, this is the truth, to the Astrodome then at the Super Bowl was tied in yellow ribbons. Then, of course, came Desert Storm. And in Desert Storm, it became the symbol of our military coming home from that 100-day war. And then in Iraq, I was in Iraq and in Baghdad, and I get there, and there was a victory at the base there, the victory base in Baghdad. There was yellow ribbons everywhere. And what was funny is that a young man in your audience here, how old are you, young man?
20.
Okay, so you're about the age of one of the soldiers I'm working for out there in Baghdad, and I'm on the stage, and I could see, he had a look in his eye I'll never forget for as long as I live. I'm standing on the stage about to sing for them, yellow ribbon, and I looked down and I could read his lips. He turned to his brother and I could read his lips and went like this: is that Geraldo? He had no idea who I was, just like that 20-year-old sitting out there right now. But the truth is, once I did yellow ribbon, Bruce, it was really amazing. He said, wait a minute, every base that I've been in America, that yellow ribbon started with that song? And I said, yeah, I thought it started with John Wayne's movie, She Wore a Yellow Ribbon. But it turns out that the Library of Congress said, no, it started with the song Yellow Ribbon. Hmm. So there we are. And now it's become a symbol of homecoming and welcoming home and hope and freedom for those of us who, you know, serve for our country, our military, which I'm very proud of. And because of that song, I don't know how many millions of dollars I've been able to raise on behalf of veterans, but it's been a great thing.
You know, before I'm going to get somebody from the audience up. We have plenty more music. We're talking to Tony Orlando live on Your Cousin Brucey Presents here on Sirius XM 6, The Spirit of Rock and Roll.
That's
now,
it.
I love saying that. Tony, should people like yourself get involved? Now, you have never held back politically. You've always been somebody that spoke his mind, even when, you know, early in the early days, even as a kid, and it developed and developed. Do you think with the power that you have and the trust you have with the audience, is it all right to get involved politically?
I think it's important that you say, I don't think you should take your own importance too seriously. I don't think an actor or a performer or a singer makes a difference to a vote. I really don't. I think American people are too smart to listen to a singer or an actor. You got to give them more credit than that. But I think that if, since you're a public figure and somebody asks you a question about how you feel about America, it's okay to say you love America. It's okay to say I believe that Christmas should not be taken out of our vocabulary. I believe, I believe in hard work. I believe in making it in this business. In any business, I believe it's important that we respect the Constitution. I think that we've been blessed with a certain, like we've been blessed in our religions, like Judeo-Christian religions, with the Ten Commandments from the Old Testament. I think we've been blessed as a country with the Constitution. And I think that those amendments of freedom is why my military guys that I work so hard for have put their lives on the line for us. So on their behalf, on those 50-plus thousand people who died for Vietnam, I'm not going to let them die in vain and not speak up on their behalf.
Good for you. You know, long as a performer knows what he or she is talking about, right? I think you have to speak up.
Yeah.
You owe it to the public. You owe it to yourself as a person. Years ago, we used to work for radio stations and recording organizations that would say, don't say anything, nothing political. You know, no, you can't do that. We're afraid of the sponsors. But today we can't do that. The audience is too involved. They're very sophisticated. And we owe it.
I think the country is very polarized politically. I think what's important for us entertainers to remind Americans is that we are all brothers and sisters under the greatest flag that ever flew for any country.
So, Mr. Orlando.
With respect to every other country, but let me tell you, I don't know too many people who swim an ocean that's infested with sharks to get here.
Let me tell you, I think a whole bunch of us would, Tony. There's no doubt about it. Let's do a little Candida, and then I'm going to get somebody from the audience to get a couple of questions. These people are itching to get at you and talk to you a little bit. A little bit of Senor Orlando. Candida. Can we do that?
Your good friend, Tony Wine, who's listening.
Love Tony Wine.
I know you love Tony Wine.
Tony
We've
Wine.
All grown up with Tony.
What
Tony.
A talent. Whoa.
Great talent, great songwriter. And by the way, works in the band with me, and we've been working together since she's 12. That's how long I know her. She's going to kill me for saying that. But we've known each other 52 years. And she wrote Candida with Irwin Levine. And then Knock Three Times came with Larry Brown and Irwin Levine. So I'm going to do them as a medley.
The first can we do that? Great.
Yeah, I'll do it as a medley. Candida first and then Knock Three Times. Okay?
Go.
The stars won't come out if they know that you're a bow, 'cause they couldn't match the glow of your eye. And oh, who am I? Just an ordinary guy, trying hard just to win me my first prize.
Come on.
Oh, my Candida, we could make it together. The further from here, girl, the better. Where the air is always fresh and sweet. I'll let you sing the chorus. Oh, my
Candida.
Go ahead.
Just take my hand and I'll lead you. And I promise life will be sweeter, 'cause it says so in my dream. Girl, you know the future is bright. Oh, the gypsy told me so last night.
said she saw children playing in the sunshine. Girl, and there was you and I in a house, baby, no lie. And all of these things, they were yours, they were mine. Your turn now, come on. Hit it.
We could make it together.
I love it. The further from here, girl, even the 20-year-old is trying to do the lyric over there. No, I'm not Geraldo Rivera. Oh, my candida, just take my hand and I'll lead in key, Brucey. The further, he's singing the key of C flat now in my dream. Okay, we're going to do Not Three Times, Bruce, okay? This one you made number one for us. Okay, you guys, here we go. Hey, girl, what you doing down there? You're dancing alone every night while I live right above you. I can hear the music playing. I can see your body swaying. You are one floor below me. You don't even know me. I love you. You ready? Oh, my darling, not three times on the ceiling you want me. Just twice with the hands now, you ready? Twice on the pipe if the answer is no. Three times, go for it. Means you'll meet me in the hallway. Twice on the pipe means you ain't gonna show. Hands in time, in time. Oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, my gosh. I hope I come back to this show. I'm having a ball. I don't know about you guys. I can hear the music playing. I can see your body swaying. Girl, you are one floor below me. You don't even know me. I love you. Your turn. Oh, my darling, not three times on the ceiling if you want me. Twice on the pipe if the answer is no. Three times, all on you guys. Means you'll meet me in the hallway. Okay, everybody at home too, twice now, come on. Twice on the pipe means you ain't gonna show. Lord, no. Just uno, dos, tres, yes. You're really a beautiful audience, and that's the truth. Thank you. You have an assistant, a beautiful young assistant here. I can't be any older than that young man sitting
there. That is Lauren, but let me tell you something.
She knows every single word.
She knows not only your music, everything.
How could that be?
Tony, listen to me. Everything that your cousin Brucey plays, that you listen to it as a kid, this young woman, Lauren Hornig, knows every lyric. Hey, Lauren, go over there. She knows.
Do you know what a thrill it was to see, in front of my 22-year-old daughter, someone her age knowing the words to my songs?
Your songs are awesome. You're wonderful.
You're wonderful. Thank you, Lauren. Thank you. Jenny Rose, I can't believe she... I thought you were the only 22-year-old that knew the words to that song.
No, they all know. Believe me.
Thank you.
You know, our audience have children, and children's children, they're all singing the songs.
That's
you know, the music here, like you make fun of my singing in the key of Z-flat. No, which I deserve.
I had to do that. I had to do that.
Because I deserve it. But the song
sing
and the
great.
Singing is from the heart.
You sing
all
great.
No, I do not. I sing from the heart. You know, that's all I can. I know the lyrics. I know the feeling. And that's what I love. And that's what you've given us.
Thank you.
You've given us such heart and soul. You've given us a lot of your life. And that
thank
is
you.
So great. Bruce. Let's get Tony, you're on it. These people here are itching to come and talk
sure.
to you.
Yeah, yeah.
Lauren, we got to step right up to the microphone. Just let them out. Okay? It's a little tough there. We'll squeeze with a lot of people. Be careful. All right?
Yeah.
Hey, Cousin Brucey. I'm Lil from Long Island.
Hi, Lil from Long Island.
Tony, question.
Yeah.
One of my guilty pleasures in school was Gypsy Rose. Was that based on somebody you knew?
No, actually, it was about an airline stewardess. I'm told by the writer, I thought it was about Gypsy Rose Lee when I recorded it, but it wasn't. It was about an airline stewardess, and he just used the idea of her being a stripper, an airline stewardess who left home and just took off. And, you know, when I look at the songs like Gypsy Rose that he wrote lyrically, and I look at the lyric of Gypsy Rose and Candida and Knock Three Times, And I look at this guy. If you ever went to an album that I recorded with Talman Joyce called Dawn's New Ragtime Follies, someday, like Mamma Mia, they should do a musical on these boys because they wrote songs that were little mini movies in a way. If you think about it, Gypsy Rose, say, has anybody here seen my sweet Gypsy Rose? Here's a picture when she was, you know, and it talks about this girl who goes off and joins a burlesque show. And it's a love song, and how he was able to make this whole thing happen. Someday I hope they make a Broadway show.
Good. Now, what airline was that so I can book a seat? They have burlesque on the airplane? I wouldn't mind that. That'd be better than watching a movie.
I had a funny feeling he would say that. I don't know why.
Well, we're going to have that song in a moment. We have another question? All right. Here we go.
Oh, here comes the 20-year-old. Oh, my gosh. Look at this. He's coming up to the mic.
What's up, guys? Name's Joe.
Hi, Joe.
My little son, actually. I'm just visiting from college. I'm originally from New York. So, what of all the things you could have done, what made you decide to pursue a career in music?
Well, there was a thing in New York City long before you were even born called doo-wop. And doo-wop music is what inspired me. I used to go down into the hallways of the subway with my group, the Five Gents, and I would sing, you know, In the Still of the Night and Earth Angel and all these old songs. And it was my college education, really, because I wanted to be a performer. And that was the music I was tied to. That was my rap or my Justin Bieber or whatever is now, whatever is now One Direction. They were my heroes, the Flamingos and the Heartbeats and all these great groups. And it was just a matter of progressing to the next level and then the next level and learn how to play my guitar. And the dream was always a dream to pursue. The first time I had the dream, young man, was from a movie called Singing in the Rain with Gene Kelly. And I saw this guy dancing in the rain, didn't care whether he got wet or not. That's what I want to do for a living. I want to dance like that and sing Singing in the Rain. So it all started with that, and here I am 52 years later talking to you, and you remind me of a young Jerry Lewis.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Doesn't he remind you of Jerry a little bit?
Yeah, a little bit. He does.
You look a lot like your, because you know everything you do, you look just like him. You really do.
That's good. That's a compliment, by the way.
That is a compliment.
Sweet Gypsy Rose. You know, I'm first of all the years I've played that a few times.
May I interrupt you 1 second?
Yeah, but I don't.
Young man.
But come back to my thought.
Just one question.
Okay.
Do you have a dream?
Yeah, dream to make it big in the entertainment industry.
Well, you know what? After today, I want you to promise me something.
What is it?
That you'll never give up.
I won't, don't you?
You know, interesting you say that, because this is something I talk about on the air all the time, the young people and older people, that you have a dream, there's only one way to accomplish it. And you got to, what's the song? Follow That Dream. I thought that was one of Elvis's great songs, right? And to follow a dream, just like he just gave you some advice, and that's very good advice. Yeah. You promise to take it?
Oh, I will.
Raise your right hand. Okay, there you go. Now, all
God bless
years,
that young man.
All these years I've played Gypsy Rose, I swear, just like you said, I thought it was about Gypsy.
Everybody does. Gypsy Rose Lee. Yeah.
Gypsy Rose Lee. And here it is about this airplane. So that's the true story.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? I think, can we hear it? And let's listen
that's
to it
like,
now.
It's just like, you know, Bruce
with a new thought.
Real quick.
Yeah.
This guy had in mind, Irwin Levine. Do you know what inspired him to write Knock Three Times, which was a signal, right? Knock three times on the ceiling if you want me.
Which we've all done.
Which was the song called Give Me Some Kind of Sign, Girl, If You Love Me. Give Me Some Kind of Sign, Girl. That's what inspired him to write the sign, Knock Three Times. That's how these genius writers think.
It's almost an answer record.
It's an answer record.
Exactly. All right, Sweet Gypsy Rose, I've been trying now for 10 minutes to get you to sneak into getting you to perform this. Would you like to hear that?
Yeah. Yeah.
This is what Cousin Brucey and you, we're going to do this together, right? Tony, he knows the story. He's pretty smart. We're going to now listen to it. And I always tell you this on the air. Listen to the lyrics. It's fine. We all just did a beat and we know the beat. But then I ask somebody to interpret what the song is about, the poetry. And very few people can do that. Let's listen to Tony doing this. And as anybody, see my sweet gypsy. I love that. Gypsy Rose reminds me of burlesque. And that's what it is, right?
It is, and you know, Irwin was a big Al Jolson fan. In fact, listen careful. Say, has anybody rock up by your baby. It's note for note. But you can't get sued if it's less than 7 notes or 8 notes at the bar.
Huh.
But he was such an Al Jolson fan, this guy, that he found a way to get a little Jolson in there.
And boy, can you imagine imagine Al Jolson and Jody singing that song?
Oh, it would be perfect.
Wouldn't that be great? Yep. How about doing a duet with him someday? I don't know when. Not for a long time, though. All right, let's listen to this, but I want you to promise, let's listen to the lyrics now, and let's hear what he told us and interpret it differently. All right? Mr. Orlando, the stage is yours.
We were very happy. Well, at least I thought we were. Can somebody tell me what got into her? We had a house, a home, and a family, and a man that loved us so. Who would believe she'd leave us to join a burlesque? Thank God they still remember. Oh, let's see my sweet gypsy rose. Now, wait a minute. Here's a picture when she was my sweet Mary Jo. She's got rings on her fingers and bells on her toes. Say, has anybody seen my sweet gypsy rose? Well, I got wind my Jo's been dancing here in New Orleans. In a smoke-filled honky-tonk, they call the land of dreams. Oh, here she comes a-strutting in her birthday clothes. Eek! Say, has anybody seen my sweet gypsy rose? Whoa, baby, I said, baby, won't you come home? You know that we all miss ya. That's the line that inspired the airline stewardess person.
Yes.
I said, Rose, one night the lights go dim and the crowd goes home. That's the day you wake up and you find you're all alone. So let's say goodbye to Gypsy. Hello, Mary Jo. Say, has anybody seen my sweet Jenny Rose? That's my daughter. Hands together. Come on. Come on. Get those hands out. Yeah, 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 yeah. That's good. That's good. Uh-huh. Look at this. The paparazzi's in here and everything. So take those rings off your fingers and bells off your toes. Come on. Say, has anybody seen my... Now you know just what I mean by... Has anybody seen my gypsy rose? Oh, yes. Oh, say, has anybody seen... Oh, let me hear you sing that song. Come on, come on. Here's a picture when she was my sweet Mary Jo. One more time. Say, has anybody... That's good, Brucey.
Sweet gypsy rose.
Sing it, Brucey, baby. Here's a... Oh, he's got the right key. God bless him. So take those rings off your feet and Brucey
bells off her toes.
Sing it, baby. Say, has anybody seen
sweet gypsy rose?
No one. Oh. Has anybody seen the gypsy rose?
The gypsy rose.
I can't stop, I can't stop, I can't stop. He's too good for words. Take it again, Brucey. Here's a picture when she was my sweet Mary Jo.
Bow, bow, bow.
Say, has anybody
seen my sweet gypsy rose?
You sound like Jolson, I swear you do. Sweet Mary Jo, so take those rings
off my finger.
Go get it, Brucey.
Bells off my toes.
Oh, I love it.
Hey,
say, has anybody seen my now
gypsy.
You know just what I
sweet
mean by
gypsy.
Has anybody seen
gypsy.
My gypsy rose? That's it, yes.
Yeah. Wow.
Woo. What fun.
What a fun, what a great song.
What a fun.
I
mean,
I love playing that. You know that song, well, every time I play it, you know, I play quite a bit. That and Strawberry Patch, which is right too. I love those. And
that's from something that same happens album, to me. That Ragtime Follies album, by the way.
And something happens to me. It makes me happy. And I know darn well, Tony.
Who's in the strawberry patch with Sally?
With Tony.
Now that she's not picking them with me. That's the one he's talking about.
You know that song. I play it. It makes me happy. Those two songs make me. I love songs that make me happy, you know. And if it makes me happy, I know my audience is happy. There's so much going on in this world of ours. So you put a Tony Orlando record on like we just did, you sing along with it. And I dare anybody to not sing along with Gypsy Rose.
You know what the greatest health care? You know what the greatest healthcare is?
I know what
you're
going to tell me. Please say it.
Music.
That's right.
If you want to get healed and you want to feel good about yourself, listen, I walk into hospitals And you know, my sister was cerebral palsy and mentally retarded. She had an IQ of about an 8-month-old child. The only thing I ever got emotional and any kind of communication out of her when I was a kid taking care of her was music. I used to sing Runaway by Del Shannon. And she would kick her leg and she would smile. And then I would sing, "The first time ever I saw your face." And she started crying. She knew by the sound and the feel of the music. That's why it's the greatest health medicine in the world. I'm just saying, you got a bad day, turn on Sirius Radio, listen to Cousin Brucey, and everything will be fine.
You know, last night on the air, just as you're talking, because I've always believed, if music be the food of love, play on. You know, it's Shakespeare, Billy, our cousin Billy Shakespeare. Last night I got an email from a woman from, I think it was New Mexico. Yes, it was New Mexico. And she said that her husband has Alzheimer's. And the only time he's at peace is when he listens to the radio, when he hears our music.
Yeah.
Right? So I say to my husband, she says, I ask him, please come to sleep, or would you eat, or would you take it easy? And he says, no. The music, not till the music stops. So listen to this. She says to him, I'm quoting this now. I told him that with Cousin Brucey on the radio, the music will never stop. And he says, oh, all right, I'll go to sleep. Now think about it. This is phenomenal what's happening.
Absolutely. And that is the truth. I you know, when you think how many times you've heard a love song, and it's different every time. The sentiment is the same. The heartfelt part of it is the same. But yet, think of how many songs have been written about one subject. Only music can interpret what is a very complicated emotion. And then only music can interpret and define love, truthfully. Because in its emotion, in its chord changes, and how it's presented along with the lyric, is what really defines a love song. I'll bet you guys who are married here, you can go back to the song that you danced to the very first time. Or other things. Right? I mean,
with,
I know...
With music.
With music, sure. I mean, Johnny Mathis made a career on that one. But the truth is that there is no doubt that what we are doing in this building right now is an enormous thing. This is a health tank. You come in here and you don't feel bad. There's no way. Because you know you got music or you got Howard Stern. You can't beat it.
You, real briefly, because I want to play this number one song, which I love, which to me is one of the great make-out songs of our generation. He don't love you and he never will.
Oh.
But before we do that, then we're going to get into that. You know, you're kind of a loose guy. You're fun. You have tremendous energy, and that's what I love about you. You and I in a room alone probably can destroy 20,000 eggs in one shot. Now, it wasn't all that easy. I mean, you went through, I don't know how much you want to talk about, but a little, just sort of brush this a little bit. You went through a tough time in your life when things changed for you. But through your experience, you're going to help tens of thousands of people.
Well, you know, I told this to Demi Lovato, who I admire greatly, this young lady, because she went through a similar situation than I did. And before she had her so-called breakdown, or whatever you want to call it, I was sitting with Demi Lovato in her home, and I told her it was coming. Now, I don't feel like I'm letting anything out of the bag, because she's already said it herself on Ellen DeGeneres and many shows. But the truth of the matter is, this is a tough business. And when you start out young in this business, there's a lot of demons that can take a hold of you. And I'm going to say this to this young man sitting in the audience who's 20 years old. It's very seductive. And fame really isn't fame at all. It only appears that way from a distance. But when you start thinking it's real, when you start taking it seriously, you start using fame as some kind of tool, it uses you. You don't use it. And then you learn that you can use fame for two things. It's a double-edged sword. Either you can cut your own head off, or you can cut through the forest and make it better for other people in the world. And I did cut my own head off, in a sense. And so in 1977, I found myself, I never did drugs before or after, and I still don't drink. But for 1 year, I wanted to be a bad boy. I wanted to. Everybody, all the bad boys were getting all, you know, Mick Jagger and all the bad boys, they're getting all the position. I was a good old two-to-shoe boy. So I wanted to be bad. You know. So I was bad. And I paid a price. And I find myself broken. And anybody out there who deals with and plays with cocaine or any kind of drug, there is a payment to pay at the end of that dinner. You're going to lose your wife. You're going to lose your career. You're going to lose your self-respect. You're going to lose one of those things is going to happen. You're going to lose your money. One of those is going to happen to you. Period. There is no way around it. Period. No matter how smart you think you are, It's devil semen. And you'll get impregnated with bad days. And that's what happened to me for 1 year. But my upbringing, my childhood upbringing with my family, my belief in the Lord, my belief in God, put the braking system on. I went back to that. And therefore, I survived. And therefore, I'm able to then tell the story and maybe make some other person, you know, make it better for themselves. And hopefully I helped Demi in some way recognize. I say the same thing. If Justin Bieber, you're listening, stop it. Get off it. You're brilliant. You're talented. You're a genius. You are magnificent. Don't let anybody around you impregnate you with that stuff. If you're doing it, I don't even know if you are. But it appears to me that you're having troubles. And I pray for him. I think this young man is brilliant. When you start listening to his ability to interpret music and how he has a jazz heart and a rhythm and blues heart and how he can write a lyric at such a young age that has such impact, you want to say, God, bless this boy. Let him go on and be great and take this talent that you blessed him with and go on and show the world that really the goodness in him is what made him great. The badness in him is what's going to take him out. So, yeah, I had one bad year out of 52 years in show business. That ain't a bad record.
As I said, my friend, that little, it's almost, you know, you almost deliver that almost as a heartfelt sermon, and it is. And, it's preaching, you know, that preaching.
Well, it's preaching the truth.
But it's going to help a lot of people. It's going to help a lot of people. Speaking of helping people, I want you to help me, Mel.
Sure.
This song, which I've played many times, and I pictured... I would have liked to have been home with my wife when I played this song because it not only was it a number one song, it isn't a number one song, but it's inspiring. It really is.
Well, you know, Curtis Mayfield and Jerry Butler wrote it. And Jerry Butler had the song, it was originally a hit by him, called He Will Break Your Heart. Now, when I re-recorded it, Peter Wolf, you know who Peter Wolf is,
sure.
Right? And Jay Giles Band, I'm hosting, co-hosting the Golden Globe Awards 1 year. And then we took a break. And he was married to Faye Dunaway, the actress. And we took a break, and Faye Dunaway says, he will break your heart. That would be a great song for you. And I said to Peter, she knows he will break your heart? She goes, she studied. She goes, yeah, Black Label, serial number 42, 16, 43, 44. Jerry Butler's He Will Break Your Heart. I said, what? Faye Dunaway, you know the serial number of the record? She goes, I do. So me, her, and Peter are in the hallway singing, He Will Break Your Heart. So I leave Peter, I take Faye's advice, and I call Curtis Mayfield, who wrote the song. I said, Curtis, I'm going in the studio with the girls at Thelma and Hopkins and Joyce Vincent Wilson. We're going to cut, hopefully, your song, He Will Break Your Heart. But can I change the title to He Don't Love You Like I Love You? You don't even say He Will Break Your Heart in the record. Why? First of all, let me ask you, why don't you say it? In Jerry's record, and his answer was interesting. He said, for a black man to use bad grammar in those days was a no-no. And I thought, he don't love you like I love you was bad grammar. I said, oh my gosh. Well, can I say it? He goes, you really cutting it with the girls? I said, yeah. He says, you think, is it going to be a single? I said, yeah. He says, I don't care if you change it to Old MacDonald Had a Farm. And so we recorded and changed the title, and it went to number one for us. It was a multi-million selling record for us.
Your heart, us apart.
Fare thee well, I know you're leaving. For the new love you say you've gone and found. Oh, this handsome guy that you've been dating. Girl, I got a feeling he's gonna put you down. Cause he don't love you like I love you. If he did, he wouldn't break your heart. He don't love you like I love you. He's trying to tear us apart. Well, alright, he's one of those guys that uses all those fancy quotations. He says all the things, oh, I wish I knew how to say. Oh, but he's had so many, so many rehearsals. To him, it's just another play. But wait, when the final act is over, and you're left standing there all alone. You know, when that man takes his final bows and he makes his final exit, I'm gonna be there just to walk you right on home. He don't love you, and he never will. If he did, oh girl, never, never break your heart. I know that he don't care. He don't love you, no, 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 like I love you. He's trying to tear us apart. Oh, yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And ooh.
Thank you, Curtis Mayfield and Jerry Butler.
Did you know... About 3 months later, there was an answer record put out there.
No.
Oh, yeah. Well, listen to this. I do a feature on my show called And the Answer Is. Good. I had a feeling you didn't know this.
No.
Joe Tex.
One of my favorite singers.
All right. Brian, I want to send Tony this answer record. It's called I'll Never Break Your Heart. Same thing, a different feeling, a different soul.
Wow.
Joe Tex. Wait till you hear it. Well, look, first of all, what can I say to you? Is this... A delightful person.
Ah, thank you. Thank you, cousin. Thank you.
My brother, Brucey. Cousin, my sweet friend. You're my brother. You are. Tony, I've always felt so close to you. And there's a good reason. I think everybody in the audience listening out there, the series, and these cousins that are lucky live in the studio here have a feeling of what I'm talking about with this man. That's a real human mensch.
Thank
really good. You know what that means? You people in Tennessee, a mensch means, oh, what a guy. That's
thank
what
you.
It is.
You know, I tell you something, Brucey. This is a full circle thing with you because our mutual friend Steve Leeds works with you and calls me on many occasions. And I'll always be there for you because, you know, if it wasn't for you at Palisades Park, honestly, this dream would not have been realized. It really is the truth. And you always believed in me on the radio. And then... I have my 22-year-old daughter who's here with me today, my daughter Jenny Rose, and my wife Franny. And lo and behold, I remember the day I'm in the car, and you're on the radio, and you say, Tony Orlando, I understand you had a baby girl named Jenny Rose Orlando. Oh, my gosh, congratulations. Hey, everybody call up Tony and wish him well, his little baby girl. And that baby girl is now sitting in this studio. How great that is.
How great does that feel to you? Tony Orlando, everybody, here with your cousin Brucey. Oh, what a delight. This has been one of the most delightful shows you've ever done.
Wait, I've had a ball.
Yeah.
Do I get a copy?
Yeah. Well, you're not a copy. I'm going to give you another invitation. Let's continue.
Let's go.
Let's continue. I want to thank
us. Thank you, this great audience, by the way.
Oh, is that something? Scott Greenstein and Steve Blatter and Kid Kelly. These are people that we're thanking. You know, it takes a lot of people to put shows like this together. Lou Simon, Jim Ryan. Thank you, Jim, for helping us out today. Adam Salzman in the control room there, directing and producing, and Brian DiNicola with Cousin Brucey, as always now. Lauren Hornick, right beside me, who got a big hug and a kiss from Tony before. David Rodriguez at the controls, doing a beautiful
job.
David, thank you. Chris Gibbons, as always, thank you. And most important, as I always tell you all the time, this audience, you have given me an opportunity all my life to express myself and to send this, as Tony said, this beautiful bomb, B-A-L-M, to you all over the world. And with Sirius XM Satellite Radio, we're going to soothe everybody. Music is the answer. Music is magic. Keep it going. This is your Cousin Brucey. I love you. Thank you, Tony.
Thank you, Bruce. Thank you. I'd like to thank my band for those tracks, by the way. Lefty Brothers, Cole Brothers, Tony Wine, my brother David, Jimmy Keegan, all of them. They played those tracks for you so we could have them.
The band.
Not my band.
No,
yeah.
Thank you so much.
Jim Shelton, all of them. Thank you.
Look, anything else? You just keep going. I mean, you were
amazing.
Well,
you know, the truth of the matter is, let's do part two.
Coming up soon.